this is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send two chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes.
So,
quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide two chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff that we did not get to during the course of the show today.
And you notice Wally's out of breath because he had to run into the office a few feet away.
Oh, no, it's about 100 yards, 200 yards, something like that. It's like
a football field.
Yeah, it's about a football
it's
field
like
from here.
10 yards.
Okay, so 10. Like, that's still
20, I guess, if you come
20,
back.
That's hefty. I did both ways. Yeah, I play both sides. I'm a little winded because I ran super fast, because I forgot my piece of paper that I needed to do the aftercast with. So it was worth it. But yeah, I'm like, I shouldn't be that winded, honestly. But I am. Okay, I have high blood pressure, so you guys are trying to kill me. So let's do this. Let's get into some of this stuff here. Boy, with winter closing in and coronavirus rates creeping up once again, the White House chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is warning that vaccines, and combined with waning vaccine immunity and the highly transmissible Delta variant, could be a double whammy for vaccinated people. Come on, Fauci. He has a tough job because people on both sides of the vaccine aisle will not like him for this, you know, so I get that. And he has to be overcautious. And I guess he has always been the prophet of doom in all of this stuff, which he kind of has to be. But yeah, you're just like, all right,
someone
enough.
It's just every time he talks, you're like just bracing yourself for what is he going to say now?
That's exactly it. And so, like, I can't wait, honestly, till we get past the pandemic for about 10 years. And when things start to come out about what they didn't know and that they pretended to know or told us not to worry about and things like that. Because I know there's a lot of that stuff. There just is. That's what governments do. You know, that's how they function. And, you know, the news isn't challenging anything on the White House now because they've got the guy they like and they aren't going to challenge him because they want to be part of the narrative and they don't want to challenge the narrative. But the problem is when you do that, you stop having actual news and you stop having actual, you know, change because things happen and, and things need to be brought to the surface. And so I'm curious, like, what 10 years from now the story is going to be. And the funny thing is if the news were to do, like, a story about how the vaccine isn't effective or something, Facebook would pull it down. You know? It's like, you just, no truth is coming out right now. And I think that's going to be the problem, ultimately. But for people that were worried about the vaccine and things like that, the vaccine, they're saying, now three shots is like the norm. Like you've got to get the booster.
Is it going to stop at that either?
No.
Are we going to need a second booster, a third booster, yearly shot? Which, I mean, at some point, if it becomes a yearly shot kind of thing, then some, you know, way down the line, it'll just be another version of a flu shot, which
will
be fine. Which we'll accept per se, but we're still so early into all this that them telling us new shot, like, it's exhausting.
Well, that's where you're ultimately going to end up with this because here's the problem though. People say, well, follow the science. You're seeing every day that the science isn't perfect. The science is shifting as they learn more. And so people that were like, hey, look, I want, because a lot of people vilify people that don't have the vaccine, like, oh, you're just a Trump fan or whatever. But there are a lot of people that are like, look, science doesn't have all the answers, and it has to learn, and it takes time to learn. I want to wait till the time has gone past that there's enough studying of it done.
And you have the right to say that.
Absolutely, and I have zero problem with people saying that. Like, good on you. I get it. You mm-hmm. know, I got the vaccine. I personally did for my own reasons. But, like, I respect people saying I don't want to do it because I don't know medically that I have all the facts. And that's fine, because you're finding out every day that they don't even have all the facts. You know, and I don't blame them for that, because they're trying to learn this virus that shifts and everything. And so but again, they vilify people that don't share that belief, or like you're somehow ignorant, like you don't believe in science.
Right.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Then you're losing. Like, it's hard. It's just hard, because you feel like disrespected if you believe that the vaccine is helpful and someone isn't getting it. But then if you're not getting it and someone did get it and they're being mean to you, you feel disrespected. So everybody is just disrespecting everybody.
And Fauci is saying you're going to see breakthrough infections even more for the vaccinated now. You're like, oh. Mm-hmm. The hope is, if you're vaccinated, though, that it isn't like as traumatic on you, you know? So that's the upside of this. But yeah, kind of a mess. But he's like, yeah, so we're going to see this. That combined with more people getting together for holidays, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're expecting like a big uptick yet again. So, yeah. But it was weird, man. Like, we went for Gavin's birthday last night to Jack Split in Murfreesboro here in Tennessee. It's Colton Dixon's family owns this axe throwing and escape room game thing. Oh my gosh. We had the best
so
time.
Cool.
We're going back for the escape games.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Because they're amazing. But the axe throwing and knife throwing was pretty great. Betty Rock is working on some videos for socials to post and stuff like that, because we had a great time. But then afterwards, Gavin and his wife Haley and I went to dinner. And I remember sitting there, and I'm like, I walked in, I'm sitting down, and the place is just packed. And I'm sitting there thinking, this does not feel like a COVID world at all.
Oh, you're
and
right.
I'm not even thinking twice about COVID anymore. I don't even, it's not even a consideration. If I go somewhere where I have to have a mask, I'm like, oh, gee, I forgot I've got to have a mask. Whereas before, mm-hmm. you always had a mask. You came out of the restaurant and you instantly wiped your hands or washed your hands and sanitized everything. And it's like, those days are so far in the rear view for us.
I didn't
us.
See a mask last night.
No.
Our server didn't have a mask on. Because we'll go to certain places and I'll see people who are making food. Like, I think I went to a Chipotle a little while ago, and the people who were actually serving the food did wear like face masks. And in some crazy way, I'm like, I'm kind of comforted by that, because I'm like, oh, yeah, like there's no random cough that's going to end up on my food per se. But yeah, last night, just steak and no face masks.
Yeah, it
totally.
Was- But then you've got places like New York where you're having to show, or LA where you're having to show your vaccination card just to get in. You know, and it's
I've
just
already
so
forgotten
different.
To bring a mask with me anywhere.
I know. I mean, do you remember those days?
Yeah.
Remember how cognizant we were of literally washing our hands? Like, I would get in the car. My wife had hand sanitizer no more than an arm's reach away from everyone in the car. Had it in both the things in the back mm-hmm. and the little side door handles in the front. Had two up by the radio. Like, it was crazy. And the first thing I do, I get in the car. She goes, did you wipe your hands? I'm like, I did. I just walked in. Or like, I would not touch things just so I didn't have to wash my hands.
Now that we're here, it's hard for me to believe that we did that for, and it's not, like we didn't just do that for a month. We
no.
did that for longer than a year.
Yeah.
Where we had to put our masks on to go into a restaurant or Walmart or anything.
Yeah. Or if you could even go to anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, and I feel for people. I really do. Like Pacific Northwest, LA, things like that. People are still living with this way more on a daily basis than some of us here in God's country in the South. I'm thankful God's every day that I live country. Here. I really am, man. Like, because now, and there are times where they're like, hey, your numbers in Nashville have gone way up for the coronavirus. Virus and stuff. But again, it was one of those things. Every place that I'm in, yes, it was serious, obviously, and people lost their lives. It's horrible. But people didn't treat it like that here. Like it was this The tone was totally different here than in other places that I've been to. And it was, and in some ways it's refreshing, you know. If you're taking care of yourself and you're getting vaccinated or doing or masking up and doing whatever you need to do to stay safe, however that looks like for you, that's great, you know, and I respect that. But it was just interesting that people here, by and large, weren't freaking out. Like my brother-in-law went to Chicago and got yelled at on the streets by a guy, wear your mask, you know, and he's like, okay, didn't know it was a thing here, because where I'm right. from, it's not, you know. So it's tricky to navigate. So anyway, what do you got, Lady Rock?
Well, for all the big Office fans out there, like Wally and I, yes. we're huge Office fans. I didn't realize, but there is a book coming out, and it's called Welcome to Dunder Mifflin, The oh. Ultimate Oral History of The Office.
Oh.
Okay, so that
you
is
could have written that book.
Maybe. That's where the series creator wanted to really test the character's marriage, is what he talks about in the book. So do you remember this? It was in season 8, an episode called After Hours, where Jim goes to Florida on a business trip, and Kathy, the receptionist, you can get this feeling like she likes him.
Sure.
And she's trying to flirt with him and all this stuff. But he stays away. Jim stays away like he should.
Yeah, he did just what Joseph did in the Bible, just avoid it.
That's right. That's right. Because he's married to Pam and she's on maternity leave. But according to this book, Paul Liberstein, do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
That's the guy who plays Toby
oh.
Flenderson.
Oh.
Yeah, he is a co-showrunner.
Okay.
Had no idea. But he was the one, or one of them, that wanted Jim to actually cheat.
So he could have Pam. He always wanted Pam.
That's exactly what everybody else is saying, because
Toby!
He was super jealous of Jim.
Toby, you're the worst.
I know.
It's
like,
funny.
Honestly. Now I'm with Michael. I don't like Toby either.
No, I don't either.
He's
Toby's
the worst.
Dead to me.
He's the worst.
Why?
But here's
why?
Here's
when
what's so great. Exactly. So here's what's so great. John Krasinski, who plays Jim, he claimed in the book, he said that he put his foot down. It's the only time he remembers putting his foot down
yeah.
and saying, no, I will not shoot that scene.
Good
like,
for
I
him.
Won't do it. And he said, quote, my feeling is there is a threshold with which you can push our audience, but there's a moment where if you push them too far, they'll never come back. And I think that if you show Jim cheating, they'll never come back.
Absolutely. Like
that
Jim
was the right call.
Yeah, because Jim was the guy that everybody liked and you respected and you loved watching Pam and Jim's
and
love story.
And he loved Pam.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you don't want to see that get destroyed.
Right.
Because it's a comedy. It's not a reality show.
No.
You know? And so sometimes you're like,
no, Toby, back off, Toby.
Yeah, Toby. I wish he had stayed in Argentina. so you have to, you know, sometimes comedies want to take on social issues or they want to be dramatic and things like
yeah.
that. And they shoot themselves in the foot when they
yeah.
do that.
That's not what we're there
like,
for.
They actually got close to it with Pam. Remember when Pam,
yes,
the audio
camera
guy
mm-hmm.
yeah, like was like trying to help her out. And then there was that little flirtation and you think, oh, no, don't
yeah.
have Pam do this. Come
yeah, yeah,
on.
Yeah. But she didn't.
No, but she was tempted more than Jim. She's the worst. Yeah.
Stop.
She is.
No,
Jim
Toby
is better.
The worst. Toby is the worst.
Toby's the worst, then Pam, and then Jim's
no.
not even on that list. Because he's so amazing.
Well, I don't know about that. But goodbye, Toby.
Goodbye,
it's been nice.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Oh, man. All right. Well, what do you got for birthdays?
We got one. It's from Eric and Lori, who want to wish Elisa a happy birthday.
Oh, cool.
Saying she's a wonderful sister, mother to our nephew, and we tease her that she gets all her news from the Wally Show.
Oh, nice. Well,
then
that's
she gets
dangerous.
Wrong news.
Oh, you know how yesterday we were doing birthdays for Wyatt, and we were giving uh-huh. his family a hard time and like your brother's the worst. I got an email from Wyatt
oh,
saying
no.
that was the best. Thank
oh,
you
good.
So
Aww.
Much. And an email from his brother going, I don't think Wyatt's gonna listen anymore. You know, basically he's gonna tell everybody that your show is horrible. I'm like, I don't think that's true because Wyatt knows the tone of the show. But Wyatt's brother, if you're upset, I'm sorry.
Are you really?
Not really.
So now it's Toby, Pam,
Wyatt's
then
brother.
Wyatt's brother. Okay, so the question is from Eric and Lori, what is the worst thing that has happened while you were decorating for Christmas?
Mm.
So I'm thinking like there was a
fire.
A fuse that blew out or the Christmas tree went through a car window.
I shocked myself back in the day with... a light strand. I was unscrewing a light bulb, you know, the big, they mm-hmm. used to have glass light bulbs and you had to unscrew it. And as I was unscrewing it, my fingers hit the bottom of it where it was still making contact and it zapped the crud out of me. Like, it was like, good. it scared me. And then I probably, as a kid, hearing my dad swear at the Christmas tree was probably the worst. My dad hated putting up Christmas. Like, he eventually let my little brother just run with it. My little brother loves Christmas, so he let him run with it. But he hated putting up Christmas tree. And so the lights made him mad every year. And
he's like that dad on the Christmas Story.
Yes, yes.
And
then he'd have the tree, right, and my mom would walk in and be like, oh, Roddy, it's leaning a little bit. After he tried to get it right with fishing wire tied to the baseboards to get it perfect.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, it was funny. But as a kid here, my dad go, oh, my dad just swore.
I remember putting up a Christmas tree when I was with my second roommate. She had an old given to her Christmas tree. The problem was the stand was being held together by duct tape, and it wouldn't really stand on its own. So we got some... This is making me sound really country, and she's from Georgia. So.
We got a chicken.
We got some fishing lure.
Atta girl.
And we put it around the tree and put some hooks in the wall.
Yeah.
So that the tree could at least lean up against that and not fall.
Nice.
Glorious.
Nice.
Made it happen, Captain.
That's, you know what? I respect your ingenuity. Redneck engineering right there.
Right.
Gavin.
I can't think of a totally terrible thing other than just like stepping on sharp ornaments.
Yeah.
Like stepping on Legos times 10 per se, where you do that and then your body doesn't know how to react, so you kind of just fall straight to the ground.
Okay.
That's hard. It hurts.
Yeah.
That's it though. Can't think of anything too bad.
Oh yeah. I remember we were doing a Christmas tree with my uncle and aunt, and their son was killed during that. So yeah, that one was bad.
What?
That one was bad. That was, I come to think of it, that was the worst. I guess I've repressed that memory.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that is not something to kid about, Wally. What is twisted and wrong
in
you?
I don't know. I love the aftercast. This is the kind of stuff that doesn't fly on the show. So I love the aftercast, and I love
you. As always, thanks for being a potty.